Aside from the Democratic convention, news and talk shows, and baseball, there hasn't been much new action on television for the past 5 months. But writer strike and all, our television critic David Bianculli has still delivered one review a week for our show on top of the daily newspaper column he writes about television. If you were in his shoes, you'd be hoping for a strike resolution, too.
The first stories to come out about the writer's strike were the issue stories. What the fight was about, money, who was fighting, writers versus producers, and how it was likely to affect programming. Not much. Then, as the strike dragged on, the big story became, how is this going to affect the fall season? Then it was about how the poor writers were coping, and how the restaurants in Hollywood were losing money because nobody was working, and all this other stuff about how the writer's strike was making it tough for all the TV stars, executives, and caterers. Aren't we forgetting somebody here, though? I mean, granted, we're at the end of the TV food chain, but what about TV critics? You think it's fun writing about what you're watching when you're not watching anything new? So what do? Well, I can tell you what I do. I watch a lot of tapes of shows that are supposed to be on in the fall, but probably won't be. I write a lot more reviews of dinky little documentaries on public TV than I used to, because it's the only new stuff on. Say, where's that 6-part documentary on the history of metallurgy now that we really need it? I wait for one of the networks to remake an old show that I reviewed years ago, so I can run a rerun of my review. And on slow weeks like this, I talk about how there's nothing to talk about. It's like TV coverage of the political conventions. When there's no story, the story is that there's no story. But wait, that's not all. I've done stories on how the writers should improve certain shows once they start writing them again. My favorite was to have them kill off the boring hero of Wise Guy, and have Roger LeCoco, another undercover agent who appeared on the show, come back to avenge his buddy's death and then stick around to work for Frank McPike as the new Wise Guy. I've done stories on new TV movies I like to see, like one that follows a Los Angeles teenage prostitute as she moves to a small town in the Midwest, falls in with the right crowd, and ultimately becomes a cheerleader, and maybe even a virgin. Heck, I've even made up my own complete network schedule from scratch. A week's worth of shows that could be made with old scripts, existing but unused scripts, or no scripts at all. You know, things like game shows, variety shows, live remakes of Golden Age dramas. My strangest idea, though, was to write a weekly serialized column for the duration of the strike, in which some of TV's characters would get together, led by J.R. Ewing, and decide to end the strike themselves by kidnapping NBC executive Brandon Tartikoff and holding him hostage until the strike is over. The plot was hatched by J.R. and Alexis, and Arnie Becker, and even Alf, and was going to be carried out by Jim Phelps of Mission Impossible, a character being revived by ABC in a brand new series based on old scripts. The problem was, that idea was so strange that the first installment was rejected by my newspaper's editors. So you heard it here first. I still think it was a good idea, though, and it would have taken care of one column a week. I don't know. Maybe I ought to go on strike.
The ever-inventive David Bianculli is television critic for the New York Post.